AG1 is a comprehensive and convenient blend of over 70 high-quality ingredients. And what that means is each morning when I wake up, before I do anything else, I drink AG1 to set me up for the day. It keeps me clear-headed, full of energy, and focused on whatever I need to do, like writing the fighting cock, for example. One scoop, once a day, before breakfast, and that's it. I've actually found that I've not been needing coffee in the morning to get me started. I've still been drinking coffee, because I love coffee, but it's not because it's like a necessity to do so. AG1 is made out of the highest quality ingredients subject to the strictest manufacturing standards. AG1 is NSF certified for sport, and this process involves exhaustive testing and verification that every serving of AG1 is exactly what you see on the label. If you want to take ownership of your health, try AG1 and get a free 1 year supply of vitamin D and 5 free AG1 travel packs for your first purchase. Go to drinkag1.com/thefightingcock. That's drinkag1.com/thefightingcock to get started. And to help the podcast. Thank you very much. Have a great day and enjoy the show. It's the fighting. It's the fighting. Clock. It's the fighting. It's the fighting. Clock. A camo turnip.
Well, it's not Magnum, so it's a step down.
Hello and welcome to episode 51 of the Fighting Cock podcast, joined by Ricky and Felonious. How you doing, boys?
All good, all good.
Lovely, lovely.
Just want to get this in really quickly. Remember, we've got Sandro on the 5th of February. There's still tickets available. Bring your wives and girlfriends, bring your friends, bring everybody. Come down, we're going to have a wicked night. Lots of booze, lots of amazing stories. I've been digging into Sandro's back catalogue of stories, and there's some amazing stuff there. So remember to join us at the Bellevue Pub. Get your tickets. It's ticketed only, so you can't get in without your tickets. And if you want to know where to buy them, go to thefightingcock.co.uk/. That's it. That's the whole website. And it's at the top of the website. There's a yellow strip in which you will find a link to click and buy the tickets. Otherwise, go on Twitter and see our pinned tweet, and we'll see you there. It's going to be fantastic. I literally bought it. The weirdest week is talking to Sandro via voice notes on WhatsApp about booking him a plane, using NordVPN, by the way, booking him a plane ticket.
Naturally.
It was weird. It's just strange. It's beautiful, but it's like, I used to watch you play football and like adore you, and now I'm booking you plane journeys. It's bizarre. Absolutely bizarre.
Is all your correspondence with him via voice notes?
Most of it. He likes the voice note, yeah. He's one of them.
Yeah, that's good. I like it.
Yeah. And he's exactly how you can imagine. He's amazing. Let's start. This is a Q&A podcast, obviously, so as ever, we don't know what's coming. It's always fun to do this. Just James Maddison has announced or mentioned the fact that he's aiming for the Man City game on the 26th, which is Friday afternoon. Well, it's a week to tomorrow.
Yeah.
What a great thing would it be to have him back. Did you see Roy Keane's comments? They were talking on the Gary Neville podcast, and they were talking about Maddison, and he was saying, he's good, but he's all right. It's that kind of... Like, but at the moment, Roy Keane has got a right, like, fucking bugbear about Spurs at the moment. Every time he talks about him, it's just like playing it down. He's like irritated by the loving.
It's funny you said that, though, Flack. Obviously, he's come out as a Spurs fan, but no one hates Spurs more than Spurs fans. People think they can give Spurs fans abuse, but we hate ourselves considerably more than you could possibly hate our club. And Roy Keane is just an example of this.
Well, he's a Spurs fan.
I mean, yeah. I mean, he said on the overlap, didn't he?
He said that he was fond of Spurs and he always liked watching them play. But I think he was a fan. I think he's very much a Man United guy. But yeah, I mean, it's weird, like, because you say that. It did occur to me. I thought you said you quite like Spurs.
I think for years he's always said that he either supported Spurs as a kid or he was fond of Tottenham as a kid. I think Tottenham was his team when he was growing up, when he was younger, I'm pretty sure.
He says, I played for Man United, but Spurs are my team. He said that on the 21st of December, 2023.
See?
Okay. So what?
That's maybe why he's so angry.
Why is he mugging us?
Exactly.
We're good.
Because everyone's digging him out at home about
he's the anti-flam.
His trophy cabinet. And he's just so angry everyone's digging him out all the time. So he feels like he's got to come out.
He's got to...
I reckon so.
He hates. Yeah, 24th of December. Spurs are my team. Roy Keane admits he has always been a Spurs fan. He doesn't behave like a Spurs fan at all. It's bizarre to me that.
They should ask him about Ndombele. Imagine the rant he'd have talking about him.
I reckon he could do a Ron Atkinson there. That's why they will never ask him about him.
That question's blacklisted.
He acts more like Conte, doesn't he? As a Spurs fan, as our Tottenham manager, absolutely fucking loathes us.
It just wants us miserable. And there are, to be fair, there are Spurs fans out there that absolutely hate our guts. I'll give them some credit actually, because being in love with Tottenham is also hating them. Like, you know, sometimes you hate the person you love most, or you can't. You're around mates and you think, I just can't be around that guy at the moment. That's our relationship with Spurs. Like, there's been a couple of times in the last 3 or 4 years where I just feel like I can't spend any time with Tottenham at the moment, because I want to run in front of a Iveco truck.
That's just really, really tickled me then. You know, we've all been in jobs where you just dread going into work and you hate it and you don't know what to do.
That's every one of your jobs.
Thinking about calling in sick. You're just trying to just get out of it somehow. That's how Conte was feeling when he's manager of Tottenham.
Yeah, I don't want to go in.
Fucking hated it every morning. Just like, what can I do? What can I do? Oh, I've done the gallbladder thing now. Fuck. How am I going to get out of this?
Yeah.
He hated us.
Yeah, he did hate us. I actually got tweeted by an Arsenal fan. This week, Tim Sherwood has sort of doubled down on his initial comments about Pedro Porro, that he isn't a defender. Even now, he's saying he's not much of a defender this week. And Pedro Porro has responded to a tweet. I think it was one of the Spurs' big Twitter news aggregators that put it out. Basically posted his follow-up quotes, Tim Sherwood. And Pedro Porro just put a little heart emoji next to it, because he basically said, all right, Pedro Porro's had a good season, but he still can't defend, kind of thing. Which, I mean, defensively he's been better than I thought, but it's definitely been improved. And there is, out of all of our players, Pedro Porro's probably number one. If you look, rank their season thus far, I would have Pedro as number one. I'll get your answers in a second. But just to finish this, I was messaged by an Arsenal fan and said, why do all your ex-managers hate you? And it didn't even come across as like them digging me out or trying to dig us out. It was almost like, well, you had Sandro didn't really leave on good terms. Mourinho and Conte both really hate you. What's going on there? And I was just like, well, it's just what we are. It's what happens at Spurs. It's like, we're comfortable with this. If we manage to break Postecoglou and he hates our guts by the end of it, I don't know what we'll do. Who's your number one, boys? Who's your number one player of the season?
Vicario for me. Just been a model of consistency. Even in that bad run, he was still amazing. And I think he's a future captain, so I think it's him.
Really? Future captain?
Nice. Yeah. Wow.
You can't have a goalkeeper as a captain. They're all fucking mental.
Exactly. So
Lloris wasn't even like that mad, but most of them are crazy. Vicario has an element. He's got that mad, crazy vibe that some goalkeepers have, like David James had. He's like a little bit like, you're mad. You're absolutely mad, you. Should we go?
The funny thing with David James, he thinks he's clever. That's what makes it even more scary. You know, he tries to speak slowly and measured, like he's really intelligent, but he's really not.
That is a good method, apparently. If you want to seem more intelligent than you are, then you wait a few seconds longer than you should to respond to a question. But after a while, it just gets an idiot and you seem slow. So who's your number one, Rick, this season?
I would probably go for Porro as well. I mean, it was Madders up until his injury. But yeah, I'm going to have to go with Porro. I just think his kind of his willingness to get forward, to always show for the ball, his aggression, his kind of the reaction he has with the crowd after a tackle or after, like, if we go 1-0 up and he's just like really G'ing the crowd up, it feels like he has kind of got a real affinity with the fans as well and the club at the moment. He is definitely my number one, yeah.
Okay, Let's go to the questions then. Theo says, why can't any of you say Ben Davies' name right? He's a Welsh lad and it's Davies, not Davies. I mean, I responded saying it's been 10 years. Does it even matter anymore? Like, who gives a shit?
I always heard it's pronounced Davies. That's what I know it's spelled too. Davies, but it's pronounced Davies. But if it looks like Davies, I'm pronouncing it as Davies.
Yeah, when you're in my country, I'll pronounce your name how I fucking like. Yeah, if you don't like it, go back to Wales.
Go across that bridge. Go back.
There's a big fucking bridge there. Go and walk back over it. No one asked you to come here. That's not true, is it? We signed him. Is it Davies? Davies doesn't feel right. Davies does feel right. So we're just going to carry on saying that.
Exactly.
He's not going to play much anyway, so we're not going to be saying his name at all. So there, all your Davies fanboys ain't going to see him play. So
give him a new contract, whatever. I say. New contract.
Yeah, give him a new contract. He can throw towels around.
What's your problem with Davies? He's done been a loyal servant. Where's this energy coming from?
People being loyal servants don't mean shit to me, man. I mean, even with the whole outpouring over Eric Dier leaving, people like crying on Twitter about piss off. He was shit towards the end. And now he's just there as best friend. Piss off, mate.
Okay, good. Sam Cornish, he says, if the fighting cock took over Spurs social media, what questions would you ask the lads as they walked into the training ground?
Go on, Rick.
Yeah, first one, it would be, have you done a poo-poo this morning?
Poo-poo?
Poo-poo.
Oh, come
not
on. That would make
poo-poo.
It weird. Have you done a poo?
Have you done poo-poo? Yeah, exactly. Oh, yeah, that would make it weird. Go asking a football player that plays for Tottenham coming in saying, have you had a turnout this morning? That wouldn't be weird at all, would it?
Both of those are weird, but it's less weird saying poo once than poo-poo.
Yeah, I like, it makes it more... like you're talking to a child. You done a poo-poo?
No, yeah, Rick. You look at them in the eyes and hold their gaze, as you said it. What do you think they'd perform better if they had a turnout or if they hadn't? Like, because if they go on the pitch and they still need a poo, like, they'll run faster, won't they?
Makes it more aerodynamic.
There's logic there. There is logic.
There's probably a spreadsheet. It's probably like a group spreadsheet about who's a shit and when, you know what I mean? Like, optimal performance.
I've held a poo in before we've done a pod because I thought it might give me a bit more impetus.
Bit of an edge.
It didn't. It just made me worry that I was going to poo myself on camera during the podcast. So
I didn't go for a poo because I wanted an edge.
You know, like when Liam Gallagher, the stance he has when he sings and he really gets kind of like his vocals out, I kind of felt like that. Like holding a poo in would give me an edge on the pod, but it didn't. Really didn't.
Yeah.
Just distracts you, isn't it?
Dicks out.
Yeah, it did.
Dicks out? what do you
mean?
See,
what would you ask?
Oh, God, I don't know, actually. I actually don't know. I mean, I think they had a bit of flack for the latest one they did about using my famous person on your phone and FaceTime them. That was a bit...
It doesn't quite work that grabbing them before they go in.
Sometimes it does if it's a quick question, or no, but that one didn't work.
What about one of the questions with dicks out or dicks in? And you've got to answer, you're not letting you through until you answer. Dicks out,
just hold the door shut. What happened?
Answer the question, dicks out or dicks in, Madison. It's always dicks out, come on.
Yeah.
What good ever happened? None of us would be around if we're all dicks in all the time. Depends on what.
So everyone got here.
Anyway.
Yeah, it depends on what.
Yeah.
Who's the most famous person on your phone? I think that's you can ask that. It's maybe a bit crass to ask that, but I think that's fair. But then to FaceTime after, I was a bit like, come on, man, putting them on the spot, it's a bit weird doing that. But I quite like the little games that they play. Do you know what I do love? The content that they do is when they have a couple of players and they have to play games against each other. When they blow a ball across the table and they've got the cups sellotape to the other end.
Yeah.
And they make it really competitive and stuff like that. I enjoy that. That's good content.
Fair enough. I've got Clinton Morrison's number. Never spoken to him.
Have you?
Yeah. Anyway, a question here from Graham. He says, if Rishi does get 15 goals this season, having played with an injury, missed games through surgery, played his way into form and dealt with being played as on the left wing and also centrally, but with different partners up top, he could hit 20 plus next year. If the question, I guess, is if Richie gets 15 goals this season, no, if he gets 15 league goals, he's got 7 already. He needs another 8. Would it be that he deserves to start next season and he's proven that he can be our number 9 and so you stick with him? Or as a club, do you be bold, replace him with someone you think or you know is, or you assume is better than him? What would you do if you was manager T?
I would get another player that I would assume is better than him because he needs competition. And I mean, Charlton done a good run, but sometimes watching him play is pretty painful. And I think it would be nice to have another striker who is better than him. You know, put that pressure on because, you know, I think we need to have good players in every position and a bit more competition. I think with Sonny, obviously Sonny's been probably our best number 9 this season, if you look at the raw numbers, but I definitely think we could do with another player better than Richarlison to play there.
Good. Rick, if he scores 15 league goals this season?
Yeah, I agree with you, but I would say he would deserve to be our starting number 9 and he's the guy that you've got to replace. But I would think we would still go into the market and purchase another number 9, someone that's going to compete with him, if not a bit better than him. But it wouldn't be a case of me getting to the end of the season, he scored 15 goals, and they're going to buy someone to directly replace him straight away.
Yeah, it would look harsh, but I think potentially a big club might do that if they're just not convinced in the long term. And I guess the question about Richarlison is, he's in form at the moment, is this going to be the level he plays at consistently? If it is the level he plays at consistently, then there's no reason to go out and spend £80 million or whatever it might be on a new number 9, because you know you're going to get 20 goals from him next season. 20 league goals is an £80 million striker by any measurement. So if he does get 20 league goals for Spurs, not only or 15, but pro rata, you're looking at, you know, about 20. You're not only, you know, solving an issue, but you've got a player who was dog meat, you know, 6 months ago, now worth £80 million. So hopefully he does. I mean, if this continues, I was badly, badly wrong about Richarlison. If this does continue. You know, if you get 15 goals this league goals this season, I was badly wrong. Like, it's very difficult for any striker.
How long would it have to continue for you to be wrong? Just at the end of the season or till end of next season?
I'm not wrong yet. I'm wrong yet. But I'm wanna be. I'll happily be wrong. I'll eat my own words.
What's the point at which you might concede?
If he gets 15 goals, I'm saying he should start as number 9 next season because he's proven he can score at this level. Or is he getting so many? He's not even getting that many opportunities. I remember him scuffing a few shots wide. But the good opportunities Richarlison's getting now, he is bagging. And that header, I mean, it's a great cross from Porro, but he was surrounded by United players. They should have dealt with that. And it was him that got his ball, his nut into that space at the right time. No one else could do that. He looked almost blind to the ball as well. I don't know what he actually looked like in real terms from his position, but from when the camera was, he didn't look like he could see the ball. So, I don't know. I mean, like, continue. I'm still affected by what I saw in the first part of his career, where it just like looked like he couldn't trap a bag of sand. But that game against Man United, I thought he was excellent. And that's not even from a low bar. I'm saying as a performance in a team that's playing as well as Tottenham is, he was excellent on that night.
It's hard because when you've got, I think there was a couple of balls that, I don't know if it was against United, but in recent weeks where there's been a couple of balls that's been put through to him and it looks like he's bearing down on goal and he's got to use his left foot and he just drags it wide.
Yeah,
right? It was a horrible shot.
That was against Burnley.
And there's been a couple of times like that. But I'm used to seeing players like Kane running onto that and it fucking goes in the net, or Son running onto that and it goes in the net. Now, everybody isn't Kane and Son, so I have to be you know, be measured in how I'm judging Richie. So, I mean, I mean, he is very much in form at the moment. Can I see him scoring 20 goals a season? 20 league goals?
Well, if he scores 15, then he would have been, if without the injury, he would have been on target. So 15, effectively, is 20 this season.
But year on year, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's something to hang your hat on, because I wouldn't.
No.
No, nor me. But it'd be great to be wrong, though, boys.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. He seems to love the club. He seems popular with his teammates. And I think it's just a general good feeling around him recapturing his form. He's he's a bit of a complex. I don't know if he's introverted or extroverted, but he seems popular among his teammates. And on Sunday, I think what struck a chord with me anyway was that he was everywhere. He wasn't just that fun. He was, you know, at the back, defending, you know, just being a menace. And I think Postecoglou just wants people who just run all fucking game. So I don't think Richarlison will get sold in the summer if this form continues. But I do think we need another striker as good as or better than him.
Where's his goal celebration gone?
But the camera always pans away.
He did it.
What, really?
He did it on Sunday.
He did it against United.
Did he?
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't see that.
He did the old... It is the goofiest celebration you'll ever see in football. Like, it doesn't fit with footballers or football, but I love him for it.
Like, I quite like it because it's memorable. It's, yeah,
it's weird.
I like it.
Because there's a song with it, I don't mind it, but he does it, but he tends to do it at the end of when he's, like, jumping around and waving his arms. So that's where he gets missed.
Right.
But I don't think you'll find another player certainly he's one of the number of players in our squad that work hard and graft and press constantly. Like, he never, for a Brazilian, he's like the least like a Brazilian forward that I've ever seen. And everything good he does is not what you'd expect from Brazilian forward. But, you know.
Yeah.
Anyway, got a question over Reddit from Sir Jimmy Jazz. He says, it's looking like the long dick of the law is coming and crashing down on Premier League clubs, with our own FFP rules actually having a bit of bite. One of the only clubs to come out of this looking peachy is our very own Spurs, a feat that is down almost entirely to Daniel Levy and his much maligned in some corners financial strategy. My question for you all is this. Given it looks like Levy has been vindicated on a lot of complaints that the Levy Out crowd have had, what do you think will be the next thing those whiny pricks will be crying about on Twitter to justify their position? Love the pod. Keep it up. And quiz. The most interesting part of that question is, it does feel like Spurs are looking really healthy. Really, really healthy compared to other clubs. And do you remember what Daniel Levy was saying? And this is one of the reasons why I'd actually moved to Levy Out last year. I think actually to qualify my position, if I'm allowed to, I think I said we need Levy in there to generate revenue, but we need new money, new owners with a different like glory-based incentive to spend all of the amount of money that we can based on the revenue that we're building. I think that was what the ideal position was. Anyway, we do look like one of the few teams that have come out of this very well. Brighton look okay. Arsenal can't spend. Forest, Wolves, and Everton been charged again. Forest, you know, have been charged as well. Wolves are in trouble. You've got Manchester City facing hundreds and over 100 charges in the next year or so that will be coming out. But Spurs have demonstrated that they're one of the few clubs that actually can buy players in January. Like, we spent £27 million. That might as well be £400 million compared to what anybody else is able to spend. Last season I was... One of the reasons why I had moved to Levy Out was because his game plan was to wait for regulation. And as a fan, I said previously, there's nothing exciting about waiting for regulation. We're fans. We want players. We want glory. We want short-term success. We want all this stuff. The plan can't just be wait for regulation. And now the regulation is kicking into gear, we're in an excellent position.
Do you remember me coating you off, calling you out a bit because you kept telling me the FFP is going to come in and Levy's doing all this work and all that. And I was like, I don't know, I was just getting a bit aggy. Maybe it was the Conte era, maybe it was, I don't know.
Everyone was aggy in that era.
But you're right. Your roosters have come home to roost, if that's what the saying is.
Chickens,
all the same. It does feel a bit like we're looking around at other people. Everton, Wolves, it sounds like they're in trouble. Everton again, fucking hell. Arsenal, like you just said, they can't spend. And I know our books are supposed to be published within the next month. And who knows how much revenue we made in the last season. It's, and obviously Beyonce concerts, all of that, the F1 karting, all of that. I mean, it does look like we are in a great financial position, and, you know, Warra Trophy and all that. But to be able to kind of get yourself, it just feels like the infrastructure with the stadium, with the training ground, with everything else that's been put in place that I've just listed, it's kind of like now that the last kind of piece is the team, is the investment in the team.
And it's happening,
the manager,
right?
We're seeing, you know, different kind of levels of coaches scouting, you kind of data-led decisions for our transfers. It just feels a lot more cohesive, and a lot, you know, we are making strides in the right direction.
So, like, generally when you spend build a stadium, it's supposed to hamstring you. You're supposed to be hamstrung by the cost of the stadium and the loan repayments. That doesn't seem to be the case with us. Like, it seems to be we have a £25 million a year loan repayment fee or interest, whatever it is, I don't know, can't remember. But other than that, it's just saying, like, there's reports coming out saying the most profitable club in the league, and, you know, the generates among the most revenue. Apparently, in the last year, I think it was only Manchester City who generated more revenue, which, you know, is bollocks. Suddenly, where has that come from? Like, suddenly you're the richest club you generate the most money in the world, more than Real Madrid, more than Manchester United, Barcelona, all these clubs. Suddenly Man City out of nowhere. You know it's bullshit. Anyway.
They sold a hamburger for 150 million.
Yeah.
Oh, did you? Yeah, it says it in the book.
That's what it says.
Look at the book. One cheeseburger, 150 million.
It's worth what someone is willing to pay, my friend. But whatever it is, it's not real revenue from through football, you'd imagine. So Spurs are in a good position. And as long as that money can continue, or certainly a large proportion of that profit starts to get invested in the team, as we've seen, like, if the recruitment continues at the level it has been over the last, well, since Paratici came in, more or less, there's been a couple of duds, don't get me wrong, but nothing like Ndombele levels, and even Lo Celso has come back to the fore to some degree. But by and large, you'd say 80% of our players that we've bought for the first team have made a massive improvement we're trying to do. And if we continue at that level, that's good.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you have to say that he's lucked out a bit of Postecoglou being available and getting him and having a galvanising manager. Hopefully Meadows less than the first team affairs. I mean, I don't know if Jed Spence was him or Conte. They both seem to be blaming each other for it. But, you know, I think in terms of the FFP and that side of the revenue, I think Levy has been vindicated. And also, I think these are our earliest January signings since Kumalo in 2011. So that shows shows a bit of intent on our part, because now we have the winter break. We've got the two new signings to kind of bed in for the next, for over 10 days with the new teammates. Normally, we'd buy players on January the 31st. So I think Levy is definitely scoring a lot of brownie points. And, the Levy out thing, I mean, at the moment, they're down. But all it takes is a few bad results and Dragosin and Werner to be shit, and they'll come back again. Hopefully not, though.
Yeah, but you just, you know, you just stop listening, right? You get to a certain stage, whereas you can feel like we're pulling in the right direction. We've got the right manager. The recruitment looks right. You know, financially, compared to other clubs, we look in a very solid position. We've got the training ground in place.
What we care about as a podcast, I believe we do, is recruitment and the model behind the recruitment. You know, we've got this data-led approach, and it seems to be pulling up trees and working wonders. Obviously, the training ground and, you know, the extra event at the stadium helps an awful lot. I mean, I think we're the blueprint. I think other teams are going to try and follow the same model and have other events at their stadiums as well. I think the fact that we're being, you know, almost, wouldn't say we've been like, I don't know what the right word is. I don't know if we've been really brutal in the transfer market. We've just been very, very smart. And I think the Van der Ven Tapsoba is going to be one of those signings that will be spoken about for a very long time, because I think we were all on the Tapsoba train massively.
Yeah.
And Van der Ven's been fucking amazing.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think Jagerson, I think Tadebo was looked upon as a first choice last month anyway. And now we've got Jagerson here. And if Jagerson ends up being a success, then that will only grow more faith in our recruitment.
Yeah, exactly. It's all good. And that's what I'm saying, is when it's good and you're enjoying it, it's difficult to stomach criticism where it just feels like it's not warranted at times. Like, that's to say that in the future that things won't change and you can readjust your position and whatever. Anyone's entitled to say whatever you want. It's just, we don't have to listen. M. Rona says, Ricky, have you ever felt more powerful than when you beat the shit out of that bouncer? Must imagine it's like Napoleon winning the Battle of Austerlitz. Cheers, boys.
Just trying to think now. No, that's probably got to be it, man. He's a man mountain, and if you look at the matchup between us, you would think, you know, like a old school cartoon where the big person has his fist and he just hits them on the top of the head and they just sink into the ground like a tent peg. Like, he literally could have done that to me, but not that day. Not that day. Headshot, bang.
Bosh. Only needs 2 pounds of pressure. Just these 2 pounds of pressure and they go.
Is it?
Yeah. Well, pushing the seam said it, so it must be true.
What 2 pounds of pressure? What, a blow to the chin? 2 pounds of pressure?
Yeah.
I mean, you do. You see, like, if you go on Reddit and you follow fight porn, not that I do, but some people do. You know, the amount of people getting knocked out with one punch, you'd be surprised. I'm surprised why people still willfully get involved in fights. The amount of people get so easily knocked out. And there's so many cameras around. And you just, that remains on the internet forever.
And the average fight doesn't last that long. The average fight is probably under 30 seconds. And if someone knows how to punch, they might be hopeless at fighting. But if they know how to punch and hit you in the right place, you're going.
Yeah. Neighborhood Optimist, he says, what are your thoughts on the new way Ange is using Skip as an attacking eight, where his off the ball movement is more important than his on the ball abilities? What the fuck do you think you're talking to right
this
now?
This ain't the labs done.
Yeah, what the fuck do you think you're talking? What did you say? What did you say, T?
It's like the fucking lab.
Oh, the lab.
It's Q&A.
Oh,
it's Q&A.
Funny you mentioned that.
I had a drink here.
Funny you mentioned the lab, actually.
Go on, Flav.
Only fourth in the Spotify charts, isn't it? Is that good? I don't know. It sounds good to me.
People getting slumped all over the shop.
Yeah, go and listen to the lab.
Fourth. Fucking hell.
Yeah.
Champions League place.
Vindication. I don't know what I'm vindicated for. No one said I couldn't do it. But vindication. please, if you need something else to listen to, go and listen to that. It's very much not the fighting cock. It's sensible conversations around Tottenham. Do you know what we've got? You know the Big Palace account, and I always get it because it's an acronym. It's Hopkins, HLTCO.
Oh yeah.
Massive. One, yeah. But I've been talking to him, and he really enjoys Tottenham and Postecoglou. And I'm getting him on from a neutral's perspective of what's happening at Spurs, what the fans of other football clubs feel about Tottenham.
Nice.
So that'll be happening next week. That's the next episode that we're going to put out. So yeah, go and find the lab wherever you get your podcasts, and like well, subscribe to it, and if you can, rate it, because that really helps. Good. Where was I? I've been lost there by that sidetracked. Also, Skip. As an attacking eight against the Manchester United, we didn't have a choice. I didn't know who was going to play in that position. I assumed that Højbjerg and Skip would play in midfield, and perhaps Bentancur would be the furthest forward against Man United. But it was actually Skip that was playing in that position a lot of the time. And I there were people still detracting from his performance and saying that he wasn't very good. But I thought he did okay in a position that is alien to him, or somewhat alien, certainly to perform at the level we need to at that in that position. And he was asked to do a role, and he done well. Like he was directly involved in the build up for our second goal. Bentancur, the ball was played in from Romero into Skip in the banging midfield in loads of space, and he played a poor ball to Werner. But let's ignore that for a second. And then he did that delicious. Delicious sort of sideways volley ball out to the left down wing as well. That was a kind of, that's about as much as I can remember from his performance. But
it's one of those where I don't know if he could play that great. I go on the internet, like, oh my God, maybe I don't know what I'm talking about. But, you know, he's homegrown. The manager seems to like him. And as I said, that pass stands out. Mm. I thought he was, I mean, to be fair, it wasn't detracting from my performance. I just think, I have to admit, there are some preconceived ideas that were at play with my rating of his performance. So, yeah, fair play to him.
Neighbour Dovatomist says here, also a little public service announcement. You can't buy Pornhub Premium in India, as a lot of porn sites are banned in India. Well, it sounds like if you are in India, mate, you need NordVPN. Because then you could
actually about to play that.
Was you?
Get another region. Yeah. Pick another region.
Yeah, if you're already in India, then you shouldn't be fucking like, what are you worried about? Just use NordVPN to get out of India virtually. And access all of the porn you want to access. And you can do that by signing up to NordVPN right now. NordVPN.com/thefightingcock. So this is a perfect opportunity for you, mate, to access Pornhub Premium wherever you go. But what we talked about last time was that you could access Pornhub in India, because I made the assumption, I was incorrect, that what they pay for Pornhub Premium in India is different from what you pay in the UK. So pick another country, Moldova, see what's going on there. Not only do you get Moldovan prices for Pornhub Premium, but you also get Moldovan porn.
That has got to be, it's got to be good.
It's worth a look.
Yeah, it is worth a look. For sure.
Be a motivator.
And even if you don't want Pornhub Premium, you can just have a look now if you have NordVPN. Just change it. Find out where Moldova is on the map. Click on the server that exists in that country and check out what's on their front page on Pornhub. You can do all that magic stuff.
Probably Angela White.
And our very own Cow as well. He got YouTube Music. Was it YouTube Music and YouTube Premium?
Yeah.
For like a pittance.
Yeah.
Pittance.
As so, we said, over and over again, use NordVPN correctly and you can save yourself money. And not only that, it's an amazing service. You're booking flights, cheap flights. If you want to be safe online, if you want to be yourself online, if you don't want people... So if you want to troll someone you hate on Twitter, it's very easy to find out if you've got a duplicate Twitter account, right? Because you have a Twitter ID based on your IP address. But NordVPN protects your IP address. So if you want to be a dickhead in secret, get NordVPN.
There you go.
Exclusive NordVPN deal. NordVPN.com/thefightingcock. If you pay now, you can get 4 months extra free. Brilliant. Jambo 1999 says, how does this current feel good factor compare to Poch's early and peak years? See? It's up there.
I think this might be a bit better because of what came before. Because with Pochettino, it was unexpected. I mean, you both are probably more involved in the Yol revival. I mean, that might be better than it is now, because what came before Yol was fucking fair play leagues and shit. And under him, we finished in the Europa League. But right now, I feel a bit... I think because under Pochettino, we didn't know what was happening next. Now we're thinking we can challenge for the league. We're going to break that trophy hoodoo. So I probably would say now over Poch, but maybe Yol trumps them both.
What about you, Rick?
I am going to say, at the moment, Poch era, that that season 16-17, I know we go on about it a lot, but we were just, it felt like we were untouchable, and it felt like every single game we played, we were just going to smash up anyone in our way. And yeah. And we were going to do it beautifully as well. And everyone was going to be waxing lyrical about us. Everybody loved us. We played amazing football. And that, I don't think I've ever had that feeling supporting Tottenham, if I'm honest, for a complete season of that. I don't want to say it out loud, but I think we're going to win the league.
Yeah.
I actually think my football team is going to win the league.
I can't tell you how...
No, we didn't, but that feeling was just...
I kind of feel like that's why you're quite reserved now in believing again. Because I just
don't want to get hurt, Gary.
I know that.
I really know that, Eric.
But sometimes you've got to be brave. You've got to be willing to be hurt in order to taste the goodness. Just a sniff of goodness is better than not being able to smell it at all. If you hide yourself away, you won't even glimpse the sunlight.
I want to just see for the season, see where we're at. See where we're at. I really feel it's coming anyway. Like I've just said, like the... Everything kind of off the field has been put in place, and now is the time where I think we're going to see it all come into fruition, especially with Ange as well. Maurizio as well, old Pochi, he just had that something about him as well. They're both, it's very, very hard to split them for me at the moment. But I guess as we get further down the line, Ange will probably steal my heart.
I think with Postecoglou, he's kind of like he doesn't want to just be there. Just want to compete. I mean, Pochettino talked about in the Champions League final, we're gonna have all 22 players taking their picture because we're all involved in this. Oh, if we win the Champions League, I might leave. But if we don't win, it's not the end of the world. Trophies build ego. Ange would never say that. He's like, I want to win trophies. I want the fans to feel optimistic. That's probably why I feel a bit better now. I mean, obviously, Potts probably wants to temper expectation. Ange is like, fuck tempering expectation. We were a top club. We were a massive club. And that probably makes me feel a bit more involved now. I mean, back then, was 16-17 season was amazing, and it was. But I think if we carry on the trajectory that we are right now, then I think it will likely eclipse anything that happened back then.
Yeah. And I don't want to keep referring back to 2016, 2017. And I do constantly because it was such a magical season. But we need Postecoglou to eradicate that now.
Yes.
And especially because that fucking twat is now managing Chelsea. Like, any good feeling I have about Pochettino has gone. Like, I'm not thankful for anything he did. You can go fuck yourself. That's how I feel about you.
Gully,
fuck you. No, yeah, like it's like it's just because like you had a great marriage, but then she ended up sucking the bloke's dick down the road. Well, then you go, well, but at least we have a good marriage. No, bitch.
Yeah, that's true. Actually.
Yeah, like you threw away everything. We had so many great memories. I get it if you want to leave, but you've gone and fucking.
There's 30 different dicks living down this road, and you had to go for that one,
Silvio, with a flash car.
Yeah.
Not so flash anymore, is it? Breaking down now. But you've done it. You've already done it. You've done the deed, and now I can never forget it. All the memories mean shit to me because you went and sucked that geezer's dick.
And you know what? He's not rich anymore. He missed a couple of fucking payslips.
Look at our fucking house.
Now he's struggling. Cost of living. Fucked him up.
Look at our house. We built this together. Exactly. You could have been a part of this. And I get it.
Could have.
I said you weren't good enough for me. But just because you good enough for me, you don't go down and suck Silvio's dick, all right?
See, everything Poch ruined. Potch to the left, to the left. Everything you got in a box to the left, as Beyonce sang. You're not irreplaceable, mate. Go away.
Beyonce, exactly. Morgan Medjay, he says, had an interesting conversation. A fella had been arguing that the stadium being called the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium is more profitable than an actual guaranteed revenue naming rights deal. His argument was exposure leads to possible revenue. I disagreed. Possible is not as good as actual, and our name would be out there due to success like Champions League final. Your thoughts? There's definitely, look, I hate the fact that it's called the Fighting Cock Stadium, I was going to say.
Fucking hell, imagine that.
The Fighting Cock Stadium, brilliant. I don't think we can afford it. I don't like the fact that it's called the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. I wish that they'd called it White Hart Lane. But as a branding exercise, the fact that our name being constantly mentioned feeds into the subconscious of football culture. Wherever you are, whatever's happening, if it's happening at Spurs, not just football, wider culture as well, if there's Beyonce concerts at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium, that does feed into it. There is value there that's hard to measure.
But yeah. It's the same in any language. In any language, it's Tottenham Hotspur. No translations or nothing.
Do it in another language.
If you have a company name, you could have some foreign name of it. See, like do it, mate. Tottenham Hotspur.
Do a sentence in another language with Tottenham Hotspur in the middle of it.
No. I've had a drink. I'm sorry. I can't do it,
Rick,
right now. But
you do it.
In other countries, London isn't called London, is it? So you know what I mean? So it's got to be Tottenham Hotspur.
Yeah, you're right. So whatever language.
Yeah, that's true, actually.
Yeah. So like they, if they're screening Chinese in China, loads of bods over there watching the football, isn't there? So Tottenham Hotspur State, there is value there that's hard to recognise. But I don't think there's a world where Daniel Levy's going, do you know what? This is more valuable than £500 million in the bank from what would be a sponsorship. I just think that it's not crucial right now to just bend to the whim of a potential sponsor if you're not completely happy with what they're offering, and that the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium does have value in terms of a brand purpose. The fact that it is mentioned, it does hold value, but just when the right team name comes along, if it ever does, then we can sell those naming rights. But you got to be careful about what that is. You know, you look at what Arsenal are doing at their stadium. They've maxed out their revenue. They can't sell the naming rights, because when they built the stadium, they sold it off to the Emirates. It might come to an end at some stage where they get a massive cash injection for whoever they, if they resell it or rename the stadium whenever that contract runs out. But it's mad that we're in this situation where it feels like we're primed for a good future and a secure future, because financial fair play is baring its teeth. But on top of that, we've still got potential 300, 400, maybe 500 million in a 20-year sponsorship deal for the stadium. No club is operating like that. Like, football aside, we've got a lot to prove, and Daniel Levy has a lot to prove. But in terms of business and a brand in football, I don't think anyone else is doing what we're doing at the moment.
Agreed.
Yeah.
And to be fair, though, you made a point about the White Hart Lane. If that was the name and it got taken away by a sponsor, I think we'd all be fuming. So maybe it being Tottenham Hotspur Stadium and given to a brand might be a little less painful than White Hart Lane being taken away, because we'll always call it that. But if it was the actual name of the stadium and it ended up being sponsored by, I don't know, Nike or Amazon, might be a bit more of a painful takeaway.
This kid's on Reddit said, I know, you're correct, Letty. Alec Trevelyan, he says, is there any way for your patrons to ask questions? Because I don't use any social media except this shithole. not really, mate. Sometimes we put questions in there, but not for the main pod. So you're just going to have to continue to use Reddit. Sorry, mate. Would you rather Spurs switch their colour scheme to red and white, but the guarantee of a decade of success both domestically and in Europe, or win the double this year and Ange rides off into the sunset and another 10 years of middling success? Second one.
Second.
Yeah. Whatever one isn't red and white, I don't want that.
Yeah. Neither do I.
Wilson 1031 says, I don't know, what thing would you put up your bum for Ange or something? That was his effort at a question. You don't have to send a question in.
He's mocking it.
Random Ting 22 says, who is your preferred starting 11 and who would you add in the summer? I don't know about adding in the summer, because we're buying players that we don't expect to buy anyway. Like, no one had heard of Dragosin before we're looking for him. But if everyone is fit, what is our strongest team? Because I saw someone put something up on TikTok the other day, and his was, and said, would you boys stop me if you change any of this? So obviously Vicario in goal, back line of Van de Ven, Romero, Porro, and a doggy. The midfield was Sarr, Bissouma. No, it wasn't. It was Sarr, Bentancur, and Maddison. So Bentancur in a six, Sarr in the middle, and Maddison is that attacking eight. And then it was Richarlison on the left, Son on the middle, and Kulusevski on the right. Is that our strongest team if everybody is fit?
For me, yes.
Richarlison on the left?
Yeah, because they swap during the game. I don't think these positions are static. Where if it is going to be a static one, then maybe. But Son, I don't think Son can play out wide anymore. I think he has to be in the middle. But I think during games they'll swap. But that's probably the strongest 11. I think Bissouma probably has a shout at maybe starting over Sarr. But for me right now, I think that's probably the strongest 11 we have.
I would, yeah, just in positionally, I would have Richarlison as a 9, Son on the left, and then I would have Bissouma, Bentancur and Maddison. Maddison and Bentancur haven't even played together, I remind you, boys.
God. I know.
Can't wait.
They've never played to it. Like, against Manchester City, that could be the first time they've played. What a game of football that's going to be. Like, it's not going to be enjoyable to watch for Spurs, but it's going to be for neutrals. I think that this has all the makings of one of the best games of the season.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Can't fucking wait. I think it's nice to have these choices. But yeah, I think Bissouma and he's probably the only person who can break that 11. Outside of him, I don't think there's anyone on our bench who could maybe get a bring in. I'm seeing people talking about maybe three at the back, but I think Kulu might miss out if we do three at the back.
So, well, I don't know. Where's this come from? Like, when has he played three at the back?
He's ended games with three at the back. I think Jaggerson came in on Sunday against United.
Yeah, he did do that, to be fair. Yeah.
I think it's just fantasy lineups, isn't it? I think people just want to try and accommodate as many players as they can, but I don't suspect he'll do that long term. No.
Well, that's a seismic shift. That's a big shift in what you're doing, unless they've been working on it to play a back three. And then what
people have been hiding out in the Hotspur Way, and they got all the camo gear, and they're watching them free at the back. That's what they're doing.
It would be difficult to accommodate our player. Like, so imagine, right? Let's imagine a 4-3-4-3. So you've got the three defenders, and then you've got a midfield of Maddison and Bentancur, Maddison and Bissouma. You've got Adoghi and Porro on the wide positions in midfield. And then you've got up top would be the front three.
Yeah.
So you've got loads of talent nowhere near the team. It's an option mid-game or if you want three defenders on, but I can't see us shifting from what we've been doing so well.
No, I don't think so.
You just want to see Dragosin, isn't it? It's just one of them ones. Someone said, has Tanganga got a future at Spurs? Ready, boys? No. After three. 1, 2, 3. No.
No.
He's gone to Millwall.
They're fucking buzzing, Millwall.
I mean, love that shit.
Fair play. They've changed the banner on their Twitter. They've got merch, 10% off their merch at the moment. Tanganga is the code.
Tanganga.
Tanganga, good.
It's 10%.
I rate that now. Fake Nate says, Eric Dyer's in the end of his farewell video said he would see us soon. Thoughts on him becoming a coach in the future?
It's no harm.
Don't care.
Lost.
I'd like to see him soon and wave at him in the stand and that'd be nice.
I don't have those feelings for him to come back and coach. I've massive respect for him. I tell you what, sorry. There is one player that I would welcome to come back and be our coach, and I strongly do think he will one day be manager of Tottenham. Jan Vertonghen.
I knew he was going to be a...
I don't know why. I've just got this feeling he's going to come back and he's going to manage us. Whether or not it'll be any good, I don't know.
I hope
but he's
good.
Just got Tottenham manager written all over him.
Nine years since I interrupted his meal at Gilgamesh in Camden. 9 years to the day.
That photo as well.
I love that picture.
If you want to see that photo that I'm talking about, I've just posted it on Instagram, Flav_Bateman, I think my name is on Instagram.
It is.
There's a picture. Basically, what happened, like full disclosure, I'd taken a fair bit of ecstasy that night. And when you take ecstasy, your brain lies to you. Your brain says to you, they definitely want to speak to you. This, what a great opportunity. What a great time to be alive. Isn't everything fantastic? Go and talk to Jan Vertonghen as he's eating his dinner. So, so I went over to them and interrupted them. So I'm really sorry, I don't usually do this, but can I get a photo? And Stambouli, that was the week that Stambouli had done something relatively decent in the Europa League. I think he might have scored, or he set up a goal. Scored a winner, did he?
I think it was a winner, yeah.
And I just said how great that was, or something along those lines. And anyway, they took a picture, and no doubt in their brains told me to fuck off. But yeah, that was great. And then Nasser Chadli was at another table, and the ecstasy in my brain just went, he looks lonely. Why don't you make his night a bit better? The weird thing about that was that instead of just telling me to fuck off after the picture, they went, sit down, have a drink. Was you there, Rick?
No, I wasn't.
Like, I think I'm pretty sure they said, sit down and have a drink. Or they might have said, go away. But I sat down and they gave me a cocktail, one of their cocktails. And we sat there drinking, and he was talking in Flemish. What was you worried that I was going to say Arabic then?
Yes.
Well, I wasn't going to say that, actually. I said Flemish at the same time you said it, actually. So
You did.
So, yeah, and then I tried to talk to him about the dolphin, which T, you christened that, I think, way back there when. Yeah. Early doors. Like, a lot of people listening to this will know about this, but some people listening in recent times may not. But we... there was a photo shoot, and he looked incredible, and you said that he was probably shaved all over, T, and smooth like a dolphin. He had a body of a something along those lines. This exploded on Twitter, which Twitter was a lot smaller back then. There was a lot less people involved, and it somehow got back to Nasser Chadli, so much so that he would sign off his tweets with a little dolphin on Instagram and elsewhere. And we were like, this is crazy. Like, this, what was essentially a throwaway discussion, a little bit of flippant, you know, bullshit conversation, to it becoming a thing that he's using. It was incredible. It was good. It was a lot of fun.
Anyway, someone stuck it on my screen at work, a topless picture of him with a drawn dolphin on him.
Yeah. So I decided in that moment to ask him about it. Like, what do you think of the dolphin? Like, that was, and it was hard to get out all the information because it was loud and he didn't want me there. And I'd done the picture, and like, how do I get out and explain what the dolphin was? And when it was clear that he wasn't quite sure what I was talking about. Fuck knows, I just left. But it was. Yeah, that was good. 30% says, what other Spurs podcast do you listen to, and what's your favourite and why? I don't.
The Lab.
The Lab, beautiful. The Lab. The Lab, you say? The Lab.
Yeah, The Lab.
Go and listen to The Lab. There's 3 episodes of The Lab and they're all fucking great. I spend so much time talking about Spurs. I don't want to listen to more about Spurs unless we had an incredible result or something. But you do, boys, do you?
Ricky does.
Yeah, I listen to Rule the Roost, The Athletic, obviously this one, and The Lab for... other than that, it's just too much. I can't spend my life listening to 10 Tottenham podcasts a day. It's just fucking... it's madness. So those are the ones I mainly stick to. Sometimes I might have a little wander off down the path to someone else's podcast, but generally that's where I stay.
Got a question here from Imitation Demigod. He says, what's with the lengthy silences at the start of podcasts recently? Also something about Flav's mum. What is lengthy silences? Do you know what he means? I don't think there's any.
No idea.
I haven't. Could you record it? And then I don't know what you're going to do once you've recorded it. How am I going to hear it?
Is he on Reddit?
Yeah, it's on Reddit.
Oh, well, can't do it.
This happens to me when I listen to the Theo Von podcast this past weekend. There is a lengthy silence every single time I listen to it. No idea what it is. It's like they've hit record and that they've forgotten, and then they start the podcast. Weird.
Yeah, maybe it's like, maybe is it not just the player? Maybe it's a player or something.
Yeah, I think it is the player.
Yeah. David Lynch, he says, am I missing something? Every comment about Werner's display against United say that he was just okay, except for a couple of wayward shots, he was superb. That's what I think his comment is, David's opinion is.
Wow.
This is his first game since November 4th. It's no brainer to sign him on a permanent deal. It will be bargaining of the decade.
Jesus Christ.
What's wrong with being that positive?
It is good to be positive, but I can't find a non-problematic way to phrase it, but we can't just have people playing on vibes, man. That just doesn't work.
Just because we want him here. You can't just have him because we hope he turns good, is what you're saying, I think. I think people are waiting for him to fail. There is this energy that people are expecting him to fail, and they're waiting for him to fail, and then they're going to go, told you he was shit. There does feel like there's that.
That's me.
That's what I want. I want to say, I told you so.
But the thing is, right, it's come into a very, very positive situation. The fans are positive. The boss is positive. The teammates are positive. So Chelsea were in a bit of a no man's land when he was just before the pandemic. They're kind of up and down. They're going through managers. But it's come to a situation where we need pacey players up the top in the final third of the pitch. And he fits that bill. And, you know, the first shot did make me think, oh, what the fuck is going on here? But I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. I think with the break we've got now, with the winter break, he should be able to bed in a lot more and improve his performances. So in fairness, I think he might do all right.
What about you, Rick?
I think it's free hit, innit? It'll be all right. It'll be fine. And if it's not, it's not. Do you know what I mean? It's like
not in the world.
It's not like we've shelled out 90 mil or something like that. And it's fucking hell, 90 mil and a 10-year contract. It's like,
yeah.
If it like, there'll be good games. There'll be bad games. There'll be games where he takes a shot and it's just scuffed along the goal. And there'll be times where we score banger. Do you know what I mean? I'd say waiting till a few more games at least until you kind of draw your lines in the sand as to say this is what I feel about him. I mean, like we've seen him in one game, and he's not had two training sessions. So,
and good. Also, Sonny's not back for another month, so he has a month to bed in and start most of those games as well. So,
when
it's time to kind of bed in.
Like everyone, like the Spurs going, well done, Son, for winning 3-1. Fuck that. South Korea lose every fucking game immediately. And I know there's South Korean fans listening to this podcast because of Heung-min Son. I get it. But he means more to us than he means to you now. I want him back. I want him back and I want him healthy. He's running around with a strap on his knee. Right, literally, like, I don't want to see that.
I think what people don't understand is that in England, it's very much club over country. Very, very much. Unless it's some sort of weird regional thing. We're very much club over country. So we're not always going to embrace players doing well for their country when they're not playing in the middle of our season.
No, we're never going to embrace
that's
it.
That's where a lot of that sentiment comes from.
Yeah. And deal with it. Because that's like, we're paying his fucking wages. How much is he on? 200 grand a week? To go and play for South Korea? It's an outrage. What about fucking Marley? How are they doing? Winning the bet. Fucking Basuma got malaria.
He's made a miraculous recovery. God knows how.
Yeah, it's not great.
Do the players still get paid their weekly wage even though they're not there?
It's a salary, isn't it? So they would.
Yeah, yeah, of course they do.
It's not contractors, where they're paid when they work.
Outrageous, isn't it, Rick? Outrageous.
It is outrageous. Fucking hell.
Give that money back. You're gone
for 5-6 weeks. You're still getting 200 fucking...
We're paying your wages.
Why are you banging... in your fucking bin, son.
When you're banging in goals versus Vietnam, we're still struggling over here. Fucking hell. Brian Hill's playing, Ton. Brian Hill came off the bench the other day because of you.
And no one wants to see that.
No one wants that, mate. So fucking throw the game. Start throwing the game, Sonny. What about Ivory Coast? Are they doing well? But it, basically, what I'm asking is, are any of our players more likely to come home before? Are they all going to fucking win it? Is somehow Mali and Ivory Coast going to win?
Senegal. It's Senegal, Flav.
We haven't got anyone on Ivory Coast.
Amazing. I don't think Saar played it. Saar didn't play in this Senegal game, so maybe he'll be fresh when he's back. I didn't wonder why he comes in Ivory Coast. I didn't clock that.
I meant Senegal. You sure we're not going to play at Ivory Coast?
No, Didier Zakora did.
That's it. That's why.
Suleiman Koulibaly did.
So I'm trying my hardest to be inclusive.
Didn't Aurier?
Yeah, Aurier too.
All right, that's it. There you go. Shit. let's just write the time down so I can edit that out. I'm only joking. I'll leave it in. What the fuck was I thinking of Ivory Coast? I am pretty Brexit about an AFCON played in the middle of the season. Right, okay, that'll do, people. Thank you very much for downloading the Fighting Cock once again. You're all legends. Thank you so much. Continued support. And downloading in the sea of Tottenham Hotspur podcasts, you keep downloading the Fighting Cock, which is, you know, amazing and greatly received. Cheers, Rick. Cheers, T.
Thank you.
Up the Spurs.
Cheers.
Thanks for listening. Up the Spurs.
I'm going to pick up a Chinese takeaway.
Network.